Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
So thankful. Let's just pray. God, we're so thankful, God. Thankful for the freedom that we have to do this still in America as a nation, Lord, and in the freedom of the kingdom of God to just to listen, obey, and be blessed. It's really pretty much that simple. Listen, obey, be blessed. And so, Lord, we thank you today, God, that you just light this word up, as I believe it's an on-time Kairos word for today, God. And so, Lord, we just thank you for it right now. Everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are in part two of a series where we've entitled Identity Theft. Everybody say, Identity Theft. Amen. I think most of us know what I'm talking about when I say identity theft, and a lot of us in here has been a victim of identity theft. Can I get an amen there? Amen. You've had to redo your credit cards. You've had to redo your driver's license, things like that. But if you didn't get last week's, you can go back and get that. But so we're not going to kind of rehash that. I got one little part I'll go back over with you to set up for today. But I want to go ahead and put up the first note for you this morning. Identity theft is another word for your reputation. Everybody say, my reputation. Now, what would you say that other people say your reputation is? And that can be scary sometimes. But oftentimes when we talk about a person's reputation and we know our reputation sometimes, and be honest with you, whether it's good or bad, most of the time we kind of really enjoy our reputation, even if it is a bad one. Because some people like the fact that through a bad reputation, they might can intimidate you, or it gets them some attention from you. And any kind of attention, sometimes even bad attention, as long as they're getting attention, people will say, give me that attention. You know what I'm talking about? And so that's the reputation that you've built out of either, more than likely, a false identity. And if you don't have a reputation as a godly man and a godly woman, now I'm not saying none of us are perfect. I'm certainly not perfect, okay? But if you don't have the reputation that people know that you're at least trying to be a godly man or a godly woman, and your reputation's built on something else besides that, let me just tell you, you've had some identity theft going on. One of your biggest reputations that you should have is, hey, they may not be doing it perfect, but they're trying. They really are. I can tell when they're trying, and they may get off a little every once in a while, but they always go back to Jesus. Thank God for that. Amen. And then, of course, we want your reputation to be where you're on all the time. Amen. Where they're just solid. They're locked in. They've learned from their past mistakes, and they're not going back there again, ever again. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. But I want to go ahead and put up our next note, because I think this generation thinks, well, identity theft came across the internet. And that's the number one thing where it comes across is the internet. But go ahead and put the next note up. Identity theft did not start with the internet. It actually started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Okay? Way before there was an internet. Okay? There was a cloud, but anyway. It's a different cloud than what you're used to now in the technological world. But last week we talked about how when Eve found out that there was a tree that she could eat from, but God said not, the devil tempted her, oh, you won't die like he said. He challenged God's identity and he challenged her identity. And then she took on the identity of a victim mentality, remember? We talked about that. That was her identity outside of God, that God's trying to hide something from her. God wasn't good enough to her. God's keeping something from her. And so she had this victim mentality, and she ate the fruit. She gave it to Adam. They ate the fruit, and bam, here we are today. Gonna have a better amen. But today, I want us to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. This is after they've messed up, and God comes to look for them. Ooh, there's some word there. Verse 3 says this, right? Or excuse me, starting in verse 8 of Genesis 3. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, talking about Eve, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. How many know we still do that sometimes? When we mess up, instead of messing up, fessing up, going up, getting with God, getting his lap, saying, Daddy, fix this, we like to hide from it. Or we like to act like it never happened. If I don't say nothing, it didn't happen. It still happened whether you say nothing or not. And people gonna find out whether you say nothing or not. And if nobody does find out, God already knew. Amen? So you're not hiding nothing. You may think you are, but you're not. Amen? So here's what I want you to know about that. The first emotion we see right after this, because they wanted to hide themselves, is, and a lot of people, this is when you begin to walk in a false identity that the enemy's putting on you, one of the first things you're going to operate in is a spirit of shame. It's a shame and the guilt you feel for messing up. But if you don't fess up and repent to God and allow him to come in there, you'll keep making that same mistake. And sometimes you'll make the mistake you really don't even like to make, but because you have not put it under the blood of Jesus, because you have not found freedom and went back to your true identity, you just keep on with that thing sometimes and on and on and on and on. But look at the next verse in verse 9. It says, Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, Where are you? I love that. Turn to your neighbor and say, Where are you? Let me tell you something. That verse tells me right there that I don't care how bad you and I mess up, what kind of failure we end up being at times in our lives, God's still looking for us. He's looking for us. You want to know why he's looking for us? He's not looking for us to beat you up. He's looking for you because he wants to be with you. He wants to be in the mistake, to your mistake, to fix it with him and you. Now, the rest of the world may not understand that, but when you and God are good, but now let me tell you something. You and God have got to be good on God's terms, not yours. Make sure you understand that. I hear a lot of people say, well, me and God, we got it going on. It's good. Well, if it ain't God's way, it ain't good. Okay? If he's still letting you get away with sin, you didn't get right with God. Can I have a better amen there? So God's always looking for you because he wants to be with you. Verse 10. So Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Here comes the second emotion right behind guilt and shame. He hid himself because he was naked, and he was afraid, and spirit of fear comes in. A false identity will always have some sort of spirit of fear with it. Now, sometimes when you're walking in the identity of the enemy more than you are God, it's a fear that others will know the real you. And they'll see through the phony Christian facade, and they'll see the real evil intended you behind it sometimes. And you live in fear of that. You live in fear of being exposed. You live in fear of that the lies you've told are going to one day catch up with you. Can I tell you how a lie will never affect you? Let me tell you how a lie will never affect you. I'll tell you how sin can never affect you again. If you'll go ahead and tell on your lies and sins to God and maybe one other person you can really trust, then they can't tell on you. That's why the Bible says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Because when you tell on your sin, now your sin doesn't hold, it can't hold that over your head. You're like, I done confessed it to God, and I confessed it to this, my mentor or my spiritual father or mother. They prayed with me. I've repented. It doesn't have a hold on me anymore. I am free from that fear of being exposed. So if you expose it, it can't expose you. And then maybe someday somebody does find out about it, and they're like, oh, how horrible. You can say, well, that's not who I am anymore. I done put that under the blood. You can continue to talk about it if it makes you feel better, but I'm over it. Hallelujah. Well, I can stop and preach right there, but I got to get on. Look at verse 11. This is what Jesus said, or God said back to Adam. And he, God, said, I love this, who told you that you were naked? I was going to title that message, who told you were naked, but I'm not sure how the response on social media would have been. We may have had a house, a lot more people. Go up there and see what's naked up there. But who told you you were naked? That's the first thing God wanted to know. Not which fruit was it, why did you do it, or how come? The first thing he wanted to know is, who told you you were naked? And let's finish out that verse. He says, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? But the first thing he asked was, who told you you were naked? In other words, who put this false identity on you? And we can substitute that today. Who told you you were stupid and wouldn't amount to nothing? Who told you you're less than somebody else? Who told you your past can keep you from God? Who told you your reputation is beyond my repair? Who told you you couldn't be forgiven for that? Who told you God was through with you and couldn't use you anymore? Who told you these lies? Who put this false identity on you and now you're wearing it like a badge of honor now and keeping me at bay because of this identity that you've taken on? It's not who I created you to be. Wow. Who put that on you? Who put this shame and fear of me on you? I've never done you nothing but right. And here's their, when he answered, it said this right here. Look again, he says, have you eaten it? I commanded you not to eat. Now, this identity that he's walking in, that he now knows he's shameful and he's naked, he's trying to cover his own sin. Now, either, we know God didn't put that identity on him. There was one other human-formed person in the garden, and it was Satan. So Satan either directly put that identity on them that they were naked, or because of the sin, they now know good from evil. They're now conscious in their soulish realm, is aware that they've sinned. But the root of all this problem came from believing the lie of Satan. So whether he did it directly or indirectly through their conscience, that now they got a sin conscience on them, it's all Satan's fault because they allowed him to. Everybody say they allowed him to. They allowed Satan to put a false identity on them. And I'm telling you what, today, most people I know, including myself at times, we are tempted in the same way to walk in a victim mentality, develop a false identity that God never put on us. And we walk and we live and we breathe in it so often. And it keeps us from what I call our maximum potential on earth while we're here to do what God's called us to do. We feel ashamed. We feel just like that. We feel shame. We feel guilt. We feel fear. We feel anger, resentment, all this other stuff. All out of, now let me ask you something. Does God put any of that on any person on earth? No. So where does it come from? Absolutely. It comes from the devil, Beelzebub, the old fly himself, the boogeyman. Amen? But now watch God's response there. Then in verse 12. Now usually I want to stop there, but I love these next two verses, and they're just bonus verses. Then the man said, now he's talking to God. It's that woman you gave me. Come on. The woman whom you, by the way, he's reminding God, this is your idea. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate it. Now what operation is he operating in now? Adam went straight to a victim mentality. I'm a victim of this woman you gave me, and now I'm out of my victim mentality. I don't want responsibility. I want you to blame her, God. Amen. Amen? Now let's take a look at Eve's response. Next verse. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, I'm a victim again. The serpent deceived me and I ate. Neither one of them stood up and said, God, this is not who you created me to be. And we messed up, and we repent and ask you to take this from us where we can serve you and live with you in the garden the way it was. Neither one of them had that. Why? Because their new identity was all about them being a victim, and it's got to be somebody else's fault, so you got to blame somebody else. Good preaching right there. Amen. A ton of what's happening all through life, every aspect of our life, our jobs, our marriages, our churches. Wow. All have this same thing. Again, identity theft started in the garden. Now, here's the sad part of it. Go ahead and put the next note up. Adam and Eve had a God-given destiny. He had them set up perfectly. Everybody say perfect. Guys, you understand, they were in the Garden of Eden, paradise on earth, heaven on earth. Everything they wanted, everything they could ever possibly want. It wasn't like that fruit tree was the only fruit tree in the garden. There was every other fruit imaginable to man. Everything was perfect. It was the right temperature, the right humidity. Amen? And I believe in all this with all my heart. I believe Adam and Eve were the two most beautiful, perfect human beings ever developed on earth. Amen? So your spouse is perfect in every way, looks, mind, attitude, everything. That woman would get up every day, fix him a sandwich. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all. She didn't even have to fix it. She just commanded it to be, and the sandwich would appear. Let me prove it to you. Everybody say they had a God-given destiny. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this. Then God said, let Father, Son, Holy Spirit make man in our image according to our likeness. So turn to your neighbor and say, you're made to look like him and act like him. That's the destiny of Adam and Eve, and that was the destiny for you and I. It still is today by the blood of Jesus. And then the Bible goes on and says, let them, talking about them, they haven't been created yet, but we're going to create Adam, then we're going to create Eve. That's why he said, let them. He knew it was coming, amen. Let them have what? Come on, say dominion. Now, dominion, I don't have a lot of time. Dominion is a kingdom term. It is the king's domain is what a dominion is. So in other words, heaven is now has a colony in a planet called Earth. It's being colonized as heaven on Earth. That's why there's a kingdom word used there, dominion. Let them have the king's domain over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every cattle, over all the earth and everything that creeps on the earth. They were to have dominion over it all. That was their destiny that God put on them on planet Earth for. But they wasted it. Why? Because they took on an identity that God never intended them to have. And they turned from God and got in their own mindset, got in their own victim mentality, and chose the destiny of a devil over the destiny of God. And how many of us are doing the same thing today? See, every one of you here, you've got what I call a destiny, which is the maximum potential you can be used for God's glorification in the earth. It is in your personal body. If you're married, it should be in your marriage. It should be in your kids. It should be in your community. It should be in your home. It should be showed up at your job. It should go on vacation with you. Amen? But when you have a false identity and you start worrying about what men say versus what God says, and you begin to compromise and you begin to let your flesh have desires outside the Word of God that bring pleasure to your physical being, but it speaks death to your life. And you begin to act on your false identity. I can't do that without this. I can't be that without this. I can't have that without this. And if that this ain't God, you don't need it. Amen? And so we end up almost always in the same shape as Adam and Eve. Nothing has changed. Turn to your neighbor and say, nothing has changed. So they forfeited their destiny again because they walked and stayed in the identity that the enemy brought them into. Now, I said this last week, and I said I was going to unpack it a little bit, so go ahead and put this up. You need to understand, especially after that verse, that was the identity. Your identity is tied to your destiny. Therefore, your destiny is found in your identity. So what does that mean? As a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. Amen? So when I begin to think out of my purpose on earth, my God identity, I am put here to walk in the anointing of God. I'm put here to represent God. I am put here to act and think and respond like God does and will do out of his word that is in me and through me and through me and all this stuff. Or I can choose not to have that destiny and build it on false identity. And when I build it on, well, I'm a victim and nobody's treating me right and nobody's using my gift enough. And why ain't I pastoring a 1,000-member church? And why haven't I been called to go preach over here? Why didn't I marry somebody rich? Why didn't I marry good, better looking? Why didn't I marry somebody like this? Well, why have they got this and I don't have that? And well, why ain't I reached this status and they've reached that status and they've been worse than I am? Then you're building now, your destiny becomes what your identity is. And you get out of the destiny of God for your life. You don't live at your maximum potential. You live in way beneath your privilege as a son and daughter of the one true God. Are you with me this morning? Do you understand you have so much more power available to you if you would just wake up to who you are and what God says about you in Christ and quit believing the lie of the enemy and quit falling for the stupid stuff all the time? Wow. Touch your neighbor and say, help us, Lord. Now, here's the thing. Listen to me real closely. It's not in your notes. It probably should have been. If the devil can confuse your identity, he can control and destroy your God-given destiny. Whew. Why do you think he's after your identity so much? Because your identity is tied directly to his destiny for your life. And again, if he can get in there and control and manipulate your identity about who you really are, and you doubt God and you fear God and you're ashamed to go before God and you're trying to hide from God and you don't want to be godly, then he has got you on the destiny of his plan, not God's. Wow. One of the biggest things that this generation is facing right now is called gender. No. The problem is gender identity. They identified as gender identity. Now, yes, somebody said we're supposed to have gender affirmation and affirm whatever gender they... That is just stupid. Gender identity. Are you kidding me? There is one gender identity assigned to you by God when conception was made in the womb. I'm starting to ask myself, what are these people going to do for a gender reveal party? Gray smoke. I don't know. Now listen, I love these people. But again, you got to understand something. You're allowing a lie to take you out of the will of God. To say that God created you this way, but you're going to identify as something other than what God created you. And why do people do that? Because they're in rebellion to who God is and wants to be in their life. That's all it is. It's pure rebellion. And if that rebellion is left unchecked and promoted and affirmed by churches and pastors, then you lead those people into what's called a reprobate mind, to where they can't even get to the point they can repent for that and be saved. And we are reaching a pinnacle of reprobate minds in our nation right now who have totally sold their souls to the devil's lies. And they're out here marching to mutilate kids. Your kid can't vote. Your kid can't own a gun. Your kid can't make a decision to drink or any new drugs at that age. But you can make up your mind what you want to be and go have a surgery. And that's called mutilation. It's not a surgery. Not a surgery. It's called manipulation that leads to mutilation of a child. And you wonder why the suicide rate among those people are the highest of any of the groups. You cannot walk in your destiny if you don't walk in your identity of Christ. Amen? Now let me just tell you this right here. When you walk in your identity of Christ, you're going to receive the gifts of the Spirit. You're going to have power. You're going to have wisdom, knowledge, word of wisdom. You'll get discernment. You'll be forgiving. You'll be working. You'll be generous, all this stuff. But listen to me now. Make sure you understand about this is, again, another key, what I would call a kingdom principle, not a religious one. What you have access to when you operate in your identity with Christ is not for you. And religion says, I want to be like God where I can get stuff. I can have titles, and I can get promotions, and I can get a pulpit, and I can get a microphone, or I can sing, or I can teach, or whatever. Look at me. And that's what religion teaches you. Kingdom teaches you the gifts that you get are not for you, they're for everybody else. And you're to serve in your gift to where other people can see Christ and not you. Hallelujah! So it always needs to point to God, amen? Now let me take it a little bit further. If you're married in here today, your marriage should be identified as a godly marriage with all the godly attributes according to God's word in your marriage, not just in behind your doors, but seen outside. Because your marriage testifies. Ladies, the honor you show your husband testifies. Men, the way you lead your family testifies. And the testimony aren't always great. Man, it got quiet in here now. If you're listening to this later, we didn't have a glitch. It just went dead silent there. Your marriage, you're not just married for the benefits of marriage between a woman and a wife. Your marriage, the benefit of your marriage is to show others what a godly marriage looks like. Ladies, you're supposed to be an example of what a godly wife looks like and how they act toward their husband. Men, you're supposed to be an example out in the workplace and everywhere else about what a godly husband goes home to and how he goes home and takes care of his family. Not talks about each other and fusses about each other and gripes about each other and complains about each other. That's an identity of a victim mentality put on you by the gates of hell. Your family, when you have kids, you're supposed to raise the kids up in the identity of Christ, not the identity of make sure you get most popular at school, make sure you're the prom queen or the king and show a little whatever you got to show to get the next boyfriend or whatever. You're supposed to raise them up in the glory of God. You're supposed to raise them up where they say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Thank you. Open the door for people. Be polite. If there's an elderly person sitting or you're sitting, you get up and say, would you like to have this seat? I see you're elder. I'm to respect my elders. I am to know how to act in church. I am not out here running around all over everything. So the marriage and the family, again, is the core unit that has a destiny with God to be his representation in the earth. God's all about family. And then if you get those families together, he tells them, do not forsake yourselves in assembling together to go to church. And so the next place we see the attack is not just in the marriage and the family, but if you get the unidentified with God marriage and family coming to churches and you get an unidentified pastor, you'll have a church that'll say homosexuality's of the Lord. It's love. Let's celebrate. We want to gender affirm and think you know better than God knows. Yes, that's great. Wonderful. From the pulpit. See, he's after marriages, he's after family, and he's after churches. From all aspects of it. To where anybody can take the platform. It don't matter where they were at last night or who they were with. Come on. Amen. Reputation. God never created your life. He will not create your marriage. He will not create your family. And he will never bless and honor a church to be full of drama. Save it for your mama. Chaos, division, disunity, unholiness, ungodliness, or fake reputations. He's never created us for that. Amen. Anytime we're in that, we're in a false identity. Amen. We're a false identity. That's why the struggle is so hard. Because Satan wants to steal your identity and have your destiny ripped from you. And the destiny not only of you, but how many know right now the reason we're facing sin like we're facing it is because of Adam and Eve? Yes. So your identity has a lineage to it. Yes. And a legacy it's going to leave. Quiet here again. That's not on by the tape. Amen? Your life, your marriage, your family, your church was created for the glory of God. It's created for his glory. To draw people to him. That others, when they're struggling, could look and say, we can go to that couple. Let's go ask their kids. Their kids seem solid. Let's go to that church. We're going to hear the truth about abortion. We're going to hear the truth about gender. We're going to hear the truth about homosexuality. We're going to hear the truth about forgiveness and unforgiveness. But when we don't walk in our true identity, you can be all those things and not be right with God. Now, I said this last week, and I'm going to try to hurry. Go ahead and put it up. All identity theft starts with a lie. Everybody say the lie. And the lie comes in every form of your life. It comes where you want it to be. You want a lie. Not you want to lie yourself. You want the lie to be true. Yeah. We want the lies to be true sometimes. That's why we believe them. Because we're trying to create an identity that makes us feel good instead of one that God gave us that makes us feel alive. Look what John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus is addressing some religious folks. And I love it when he addresses religious folks. He says, for you, this is written in red, by the way, so these are the words of Jesus. For you are the children of your father, the devil. And you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth. Because there's no truth in him. Now watch this, talking about the devil. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. When the devil lies, he's not being out of character. He's being the devil. It's what he does. He's supposed to do that. But look at this. For he is a what? He's a liar, and he's not only just a liar, but he's the father of lies. I don't have time to go into this, but I wished I did. A lot of young women, girls, and a lot of boys now even, the reason you're making some of the bad decisions you're making is because you didn't have a father figure. Yes. And Satan will come to you as a father. Look at the scripture. He's a father of lies. He's a father that's going to tell you what you want to hear instead of what God tells you the truth with. And he'll bring a false comfort to your life and say, this is the way you get attention from a man. This is what love really is. And it's all a perversion to get you to give to someone else what you were supposed to hold for your husband. He'll tell you it's love when it's nothing but lust. Quiet in here now. Same for you guys, too. He's a father of lies. So anytime he's telling you something, it's always a lie. Let's move quickly. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of what? He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. But there's good news. It was because of this setup, the Bible says, for this purpose, what purpose? That the devil is sinned and always sinned, and anybody gets around him and listens to him is going to enter into his sin. And you cannot pay for your own sin. So there's been no hope for us. But for this purpose, for the lies and the false identities and the betrayal and the deceit of the devil in every generation, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he, Jesus Christ, might destroy the works of the devil. Everybody say destroy. He will destroy the lie. He'll destroy the character. He'll destroy the deception. He'll destroy the false identification that you and I have been subject to walk into if we get with God's Son, Jesus. He don't put up with it. He doesn't allow it to bring confusion. That's why this freedom thing is so good, because when you see that light, it is on, baby. And there's no doubt that this past has to leave you. Amen? Has to go. It cannot stay in the presence of God. So if all identity theft starts with a lie, let's put up the next note. All truth starts, and ends, by the way, with Jesus. And ends with Jesus. It starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. Can I have a better amen? Amen. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one is going to come to the Father except through me. You're not going to get there through a therapist. You're not going to get there through giving money. You're not going to get there through just attending church. You're not going to get there by helping a widow woman walk across the road. You're not going to get there by helping orphans out. You're not going to get there by building a hospital for people. You're not going to get there except through Jesus Christ. You don't accept him, you don't go. Sorry. Again, I told you before, if there was other ways, I would tell you exactly some other ways. There is no other way. And by the way, when Jesus Christ declared he's the life, go ahead and put it up, it is the Greek word Zoe. Everybody say Zoe. Zoe. It means to live. Now watch this. In the sense of existence, a life in an absolute sense without end. You are living a life that will not end. I know we say we die. We do lay this life system on earth down, but you don't cease from existing. You and I are eternal from the moment of conception. We are going to live forever. But after we get through here, it's just like real estate. It's all about the destination. Amen? And you and I get to choose the destination by walking in the identity as a son or daughter of God, or we walk in the identity that the enemy creates for us. And we get to choose every day, multiple times a day, may I add, sometimes, okay? But real quickly, John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them he gave, everybody say the right. He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Woo! Every single person breathing on planet Earth, red, yellow, black, white, they are all precious in his sight. Buddha, Muslim, Hindu, wherever, India, worship a cow, it doesn't matter. We all have the right to rebuke the enemy, get out of the deception, get out of the identity of the liar, and ask Jesus to come into our life. Everybody in prison right now for no matter what. If they get down in that jail cell and they kneel before that stainless steel, and they say, God, I repent. I turn from those wicked ways. I know you never created me that way, but Lord, I blame my circumstances. I wasn't born on the right side of the tracks. I didn't have this parent in my life. This person got killed. This person left me. This person did this. I was betrayed over here. I was falsely accused, and man, I got tired of it, and if I've got a bad reputation, I might as well just be bad, Lord, and I did this, and I got caught, and here I am, but Lord Jesus, I repent. I ask you to come into my life, cleanse me from my sins, and wash me white, and I love you, and I'm going to serve you in this cell the rest of my life. That person will get gloriously born again and be in heaven, and they could be right beside you. And that ought to make you happy. If they don't, they're going to spend eternity away from God in a place called hell. But lest you think it's somebody in a prison cell, it could see somebody sitting in a church seat today going, I come every Sunday, but I don't live an authentic Christian life during the week. I let the devil come in constantly. I purposely know I'm going to sin. I'm already planning my sin for this next week, actually. Yes. I'm already planning my sin for this next week. Looking forward to it. I'll be back at church Sunday, though. And we want you to keep coming. Yes. That's why we're here. Because you're going to keep walking into a place like this, and you're finally going to come to reality one day, and the Lord Jesus is going to get on you, and you're going to surrender your life to Christ in a place like this. And then if it ain't here, you go somewhere. But keep going. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. But you have a right to become a child of God. And the only thing that'll take that right away from you is a false identity lie that you believe where you can't come to it. You think you can't be saved. You think God can't forgive you. You think God can't love you. You think God can't use you. Again, the father of lies is your daddy. Everyone has a right, but not everyone identifies with that right because they're identifying with all the wrong. Last scripture, come on. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Now watch this list here. And this is a small list in the Bible. That's why I chose it. It goes into much details and other things. Everybody say, put this off.
Put this off.
Ready? What's the first one? Anger. Put off anger. But it feels so good sometimes. It's justifiable sometimes, isn't it? I mean, good grief, you're married. How can you not be angry at times? You chose to have kids. Why can't you be angry at them every once in a while? And between the ages of about 11 to 18, you have to be mad at your parents. It's written somewhere in not in this Bible, but in the Satanic Bible. You have to be. It has to be a part of who we are. But God did not put that for you to be angry unless it's righteous indignation about sin. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the wrath go down on you. Don't let the sun set on your anger. So God did not create us to be angry. So when we get angry, guess who's controlling us? But you know, some people love the fact they can get angry and people are afraid of them. They thrive in that identity. You don't want to make me mad. You don't want to make me mad. I'll get on Facebook and destroy you. And we got to hurry up. Put off anger. And then put off wrath. Why? God did not create you for wrath. Matter of fact, His wrath, He took all the wrath upon Himself. Malice. You're not created to have malice toward people. You're not created to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Look at this next one. God's identity in you is never through your filthy language. Man, if there's one thing we got now, it's the cussing Christians. The cussing Christians, the drunk Christians, the doping Christians, the homosexual Christians. And may I say their pastors are involved in all those too. There's some of them that start to cuss on purpose from the pulpit. Now, I've seen a few that's let them slip by accident, and it is hilarious. Their face is like, did I just say that? They repent. But some of them's doing it on purpose. It's part of their identity of who they are. They're a cusser. And it's part of their regular lifestyle outside the pulpit. And they think, again, it's cool. The Bible says, put these things away from you if you got your identity in Christ. There's a lot of other words in the English language besides those words. And to have to use them does not show a superior intelligence. It shows a stupidity. You need to develop some language where you don't have to use filthy language. Man, that's just your opinion. What's in the Bible? Deal with it. Put off filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. God did not create you to lie. That's not your identity. Your identity is not a liar. And you do this, it says why? Since you have put off the old man and his deeds. My old identity will get angry. It'll have malice. It'll have wrath. It'll cuss people out. It'll hold grudges. It won't be forgiving. It'll be a gossiper, a slander. All this stuff. My old identity, if I believe outside of God, will do that. But if I identify with God, how can that come out of my mouth? The Bible says sweet and bitter water can't flow from the same source. So if I'm going to be in Christ, let me identify with what Christ does and how He did it. If I'm not going to identify with the world, then here comes the anger, here comes the jealousy, here comes the lust, here comes pride, envy, all that stuff. And a filthy mouth to go along with it. Absolutely. Verse 10. And have put on the new man. Whew. Put on the new man. The one that identifies with Christ. Why? The new man who is renewed in the... Remember last week? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mind is where your knowledge gathers up. You renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him. Him, capital H. Him, Jesus Christ. Him who created Him. That's the identity of Christ in you. That's the identity of your Father God, not the father of lies. Last note. Today, if you're ready to walk in your true identity as a son and daughter of God, I'm telling you, now's the time. Don't waste another day of your life believing that garbage. Don't do it. And let me just say this right here. The reason some people don't want to come to Christ and get all that behind them. Now, I'm being honest as I know how, because I've walked people through this many times myself. You don't know who you'll be. You don't know what's going to... Well, how am I going to get attention then? Because all I've ever known is this is who I am. I believe the lie, and I know it's a lie now, but it gets me the attention, and it gives me excuses to continue to act like an idiot. It continues to make my marriage a hotbed of a mess. But I don't know how to be anything else, because if I really transform my life by the power of God, I won't do these things, and I don't know who I'll be, and I don't know how I'll get any attention anymore. You know who you're going to be? Exactly what it said is going to be. You're going to start being a son, daughter of God. And those temptations are still going to come, but a son and daughter of God, let me tell you what a son and daughter of God does. They put their nose in this book. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see that. Lord, that's me right there, ain't it? I have that power to rebuke Satan. Oh, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Satan will say, you ain't got no power. Come on now. Listen to me now. Hold on. Hold on. You read that word, you get it fresh. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, Satan. Satan will immediately say, you don't have the power to rebuke me. And he's challenging your identity now. And you'll be like, he's going to start reminding you of all the things you did wrong. God, no. Well, I wish you'd leave me alone anyway. I don't like you, and I just... And he's... Listen, when he says you can't rebuke him, remember, you just told on yourself because you're the father of lies. You're a liar. That means I do have the power to rebuke you. Get out. Amen? And you got to believe in yourself as a child of God that you are who God says you are. That's your part to continue to believe by faith, no matter what the liar tells you. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not walking in your true identity, first of all, you've never surrendered your life to Christ. And you may have come up in a terrible situation. And you know you're not in the right identity. You're not even saved. And you don't even really know how. Let me tell you how. Today we're talking about you just surrender your life to Christ. You tell Father, you say, Lord, I want you. I know I've messed up. And I confess that I cannot save myself. But right here, right now is my day. It's my time. And I feel your presence, God. I feel your love. And even if I don't feel it, I know by the word of God that you sent your son and died for me to wash my sins away to where you and I could have a relationship, to where I could live forever in your presence when I leave here. And that's what we're offering you today, that eternal life through Jesus Christ. You will not join church today and you will not become religion. You'll become a son and a daughter of God. And if you want to do that right here and begin this journey and commit to it every day of your life, just lift your hand and say, today is my day. Right here, right now is my time. Anyone? How many of you would say today, the devil's been eating my lunch and popping my bag? Some of you get that if you're older. And I've allowed him to. I've taken on some identity. Even as a child of God, I've taken on some of these attributes and this victim mentality and this, it's got to be somebody else's fault. And I don't like looking in the mirror sometimes. But today I want a fresh start. I want that freedom that comes from being identified as a child of God. And I want to let God know I will not be ashamed to be his son or his daughter today. And I want a fresh boldness, one just wrapped in grace, mercy, and love. Not to be offensive, but not to stand down either. And I want it in my marriage. I want it to and through my kids. And I want it in my church. I want a life that identifies with the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And if that's you, let's lift our hands up. And that's me too. I am not immune to anything I've preached today. We all are on the same ground, but we all have access to the same God. So, Lord, honor every heart and every hand that goes up to you today, God. And may there be a recommitment to your excellence of your word. May we reconnect and get in your word on that daily basis. And it's not about reading 5 or 6 chapters. I don't care if you read 5 words and you camp there on them, and the Holy Spirit just begins to build you with maybe just 5 words from a scripture. So don't worry about how much. It's good to read all of it, yes, but just make sure it's quality, not quantity. And then begin to pray to him and talk to him just like you would anybody else. Take your fears and take your past and take your hurts and take your failures and just throw them all at him and say, help me, Jesus. And then just begin to give him praise and honor and glory and begin to worship him from your heart, not caring what anybody else thinks. Lift up holy hands as the evening sacrifice, the Bible says. It's not Pentecostal again, it's Bible. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you today that we go out of here today stamped with a new identity. Son, daughter of God, my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased today. And we give you glory for it. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, one more time. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.